You know what the scariest thing is? To not know your place in this world. To not know why you're here. It's just an awful feeling.
Mighty Maestro Gary Miller.
Yes, sir.
I have a question. Who cleans the bathrooms at your house?
My house? My wife.
Does she do a good job?
Mm-hmm. She does.
Okay.
Because if she didn't, then I'd have to do it, and that's not good.
That's not good.
No.
What happens when you go into a restaurant, by the way, where if it's got a dirty restroom in there, what do you do? Do you just go to another restaurant?
Are you sure you want to go in this direction?
Oh, I have an ulterior motive. I do. Yes, I do. I tell you what, before you answer that question,
good,
because you look like you're a little uncomfortable there, pal. So let me just go ahead and introduce the show,
okay.
And then let you recapture your thoughts there, and another kind of running away from you. So this is this is the How to Clean Your Bathroom show with Robbie Romeiser. No, it's Career Callings, of course, and our mission at Career Callings is to help people avoid the financial and emotional pain of a bad career decision by helping them find, prepare for, and pursue the work God created them to do. You can join us today by phone, text, or email. Phone or text at 864-381-7649. That's 864-381-7649. Or by email at robbie@careercallings.net. That's R-O-B-B-I-E @careercallings.net. Now, I do have a reason, Mighty Maestro, for asking this question, because there was a USA Today article that came out not too terribly long ago entitled, "Would You Eat in a Restaurant with a Dirty Bathroom?"
Okay, so I'm at a restaurant.
So you're at a restaurant.
I go to the restroom.
Yes.
Before they bring the food or anything.
Yes.
Walk in, and we've got a mess.
Yes.
I go back out. I get my wife. I said, we're going to eat somewhere else. Come on.
or maybe you gut it out
and you eat
there, and then you just never come back because you don't want to expose yourself to that environment again.
I won't be able to. It is etched in my mind.
Etched in your mind.
We're going somewhere else.
No matter what, you're done. All right. So, okay, good enough. Well, the reason I asked that is because in this USA Today article, just a quote from the article. Dirty restrooms are going to cost business. Nearly 3 in 10 consumers surveyed said there are no second chances with dirty restrooms, and they would never return to the restaurant again. Consumers are increasingly posting descriptions and even photos of what they find on Facebook and blogs and travel reviews and on other social media sites, end quote. So, you know, it's a big thing to have a clean. I mean, look at it this way: if you got to go somewhere to get gasoline for your car,
yes,
and or buy something to eat or drink at the convenience store, which convenience stores are you more likely to frequent?
The ones with the clean.
The
restrooms.
Ones that you know by reputation have clean restrooms, so that it's just part of.
This is the perfect show to talk about this because now I'm thinking this is a job. Somebody sitting around at home saying, I can't get any work. I've gone out. I have interviewed. Nobody will hire me. Go down to the restaurant. You may have to go to several.
Mm-hmm.
Find one. Explain to them exactly what Robbie just said, how important it is to have a clean restroom, and say, I'm your restroom cleaner.
Yeah. I mean, I've got a friend that owns a franchise, a Janie King franchise.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, really, if you do a fantastic job of cleaning,
right,
you're never going to lack of work because there are lots of people that are in that business that don't do a very good job. So it's kind of like as I've said before on the show, I have another life as a commercial real estate agent. All right, I hear this all the time. Just return phone calls and you've got a competitive advantage over many of your other competing agents. Same thing with restaurants or convenience stores or whatnot. If you just keep it, I remember years ago we had a consultant come into our church, and one of the things he stressed was the need to make sure your facilities were clean so that when people came to visit. And I'm leading up to all this discussion is leading up to this point. I mean, there's the book of Job, chapter 36, verse 5 says this: "Behold, God is mighty and yet despises no one, nor regards anything as trivial. He is mighty in power of understanding and heart." That's again Job 36, 5. And I want to focus on the fact that nothing is trivial in the sight of God. And as this news article from USA Today proves, people lose business by not doing what seems to most people as a menial, trivial job, and that's simply keeping the bathrooms clean. So what I'm trying to stress is this: no matter what career calling God is drawing you to, even if the job is in the sight of mankind deemed menial or trivial, nothing is menial or trivial in the eyes of God. And whatever He is directing you to, engage in it with fervor for His glory and for the betterment of other people. And it could be the cleaning of the bathrooms that really is going to make or break, in many cases, a bottom line profit or loss for a restaurant or a community store, et cetera, et cetera. So don't get bogged down in this human way of thinking, "Oh, I don't want to do that job because it's beneath me." Well, if the Lord's calling you to that and providing you an opportunity in that, it ought not be beneath you, because nothing is trivial for God, which means nothing's beneath Him either when it comes to that kind of pure, holy type of work. And that's my point. And just be sure not to lose sight of that reality. Now, Maestro, I want to share an education update. It's been a while since we had an education update with our good friend, Weird Al Yankovic.
Everybody shut up.
Time to play that entire song, because every time I listen to it, it just makes me smile. However, as always, I will link to things we use on the program at careercallings.net/radio. So if you wish to hear Word Crimes in its entirety, you can do so by going to my website and linking over to the YouTube video from which I pulled that music. Now, I've got two college-related stories I'm just going to briefly review. Not going to go into great detail. I will link to both of these articles at careercallings.net/radio. The first one is entitled "The 25 Best Colleges for Landing a High-Paying Job Right Out of School," written by a lady named Emmy Martin, posted to businessinsider.com. And I'm just going to mention a few of them by name and by salary. Certainly, there's nothing wrong with checking into these things, checking into these colleges based on this metric. But as Christians, we also always need to measure also the environment that we're sending our children to. So I want to make sure that the environment is conducive to the Christian faith. If not, you might want to double check or take a double look, if I can say it that way, before you actually send your kids off to one of these colleges. But coming in at number 25 was a university I've never personally heard of before. Maestro, I'll be curious to know if you have. It's called Tufts University, T-U-F-T-S.
I have heard of that.
You have heard of that. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
It's located in Medford, Massachusetts. And graduates from Tufts, I can't even say that word. So I want to say tough. Tufts. Sorry. Excuse me. Bless you. Did you sneeze? I think I did. Median starting salary, $53,800. Median mid-career salary, $119,700. So they know how to do it there. Skipping down to number 22, since it's relatively close to home, Duke University in Durham, North Carolina, came in at number 22. Median starting salary, 62,000 smackaroos. Median mid-career salary, $113,000. Just scrolling down for fun, down to number 15. Now, this one I've definitely never heard of. The Cooper Union for the Advancement of Science and Art. Maestro, have you heard of that one before?
Aren't they the water buffaloes? Aren't they?
I have no idea.
I think we used to play them.
I think they're the underwater basket weavers, is what I think. By the way, have I ever told you what mascot my college had?
I don't think so.
I went to a little school called Oglethorpe University in Atlanta, Georgia.
That's right.
And the mascot there was the Stormy Petrel. I think I've told you this story, but just in case, the Stormy Petrel was a famed fighting bird that liked to fly against the wind, even in hurricane season.
Ooh.
I heard they also went extinct after all the sailors captured them and lit them up as torches because their feathers were quite oily. So we are now deceased fighting birds, and that's our mascot. I think we were the number two worst mascot behind some California school that had the mascot as the banana slugs.
Oh, my goodness.
We came in at number two as the worst mascot in the country on one of Dave Letterman's old top 10.
Is that right?
Yeah, on one of his shows years ago, one of his top 10 lists. 10 worst mascots for... So anyway, the Cooper Union for the Advancement of Science and Art, located in New York, New York. Median starting salary, $61,100, and median mid-career salary, just under $132,000. Just for fun, scrolling down to the number one list, number one college on here, best college, is Harvey Mudd College, M-U-D-D. Never heard of that one. Claremont, California, median starting salary, $76,300, median mid-career salary, $137,800. So that's if you want to learn more about the lists, or the colleges on that top 25 list, feel free to do so by going to careercallings.net/radio. The other article, briefly, I will reference is 25 colleges with alumni who will jumpstart your career. By the way, if you're looking into colleges, that's one of the metrics you ought to look at. How strong is their alumni network? Because most people, over 50% of people, land jobs based on their network. So to go to a college that has a good alumni group that you can network with to land good jobs is very, very important. Number 25, Colgate University, located in Hamilton, New York, $54,000 as the median starting salary. Just scrolling down to number 18 was Lehigh University in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, $60,400. And just for fun, number one was scrolling down, computers never move fast enough, Dartmouth College, number one, Hanover, New Hampshire, $55,500. And Maestro, I think we must end up that segment with Word Crimes, the other side of Weird Al.
Everybody,
oh, that was the first one.
So that was, well, I had another one?
You were just so excited about what I was saying, weren't you? That's okay. We'll let Maestro recuperate during the break.
Sorry.
That's okay, slacker. We love you anyway, pal. See you on the other side of the break at Career Callings.
Now my mid-salary has just dropped quite a bit.
What was ancient man really like? Was he a stooped-over, club-wielding caveman who invented fire and barbecued T-Rex? Was he on an evolutionary journey to modern man? Or was he just the same as you and me? Find out this week on Science, Scripture, and Salvation, a Creation Radio Journal.
Science, Scripture, and Salvation heard every Saturday morning at 7:30 on Christian Talk 660 and 92.9. And streaming live at ChristianTalk660.com.
I'm here with Dan Rundle, CEO of Worthwhile. Dan, why did you and your team decide to build the software that powers Teach Me Morpheus?
Part of our vision as a company is building software that's aimed at solving real challenges that exist in the world. And the unique thing about this that really excited us was the opportunity to take people that know a lot about certain topics and match them with people who wanted to learn. The current model is really broken. The content creators, the teachers, they make very little money from that. With Morpheus, we're giving quality content. It's for a fee, but it's a nominal fee in the scheme of things. So it's a unique model that solves a problem that's in the market right now that's really exciting.
Helping experts profit from their wisdom. Helping online learners gain wisdom inexpensively. That's what TeachMeMorpheus.com, a new online learning platform, can do for you. To learn more, go to TeachMeMorpheus.com and type in referral code HISRADIO. That's TeachMeMorpheus.com, referral code HISRADIO.
Hi, I'm Avina. I'm 7 years old and I'm blind. You can help me live the life I want.
Help Ravina and other blind people by making a tax-deductible donation of your used car, truck, or almost anything with wheels to the National Federation of the Blind. Just call 855-659-9314 or visit carshelpingtheblind.org. That's carshelpingtheblind.org. And if you know a blind person who needs help, email nfb@nfb.org.
Career mismatches cause people financial and emotional pain as they struggle to pay their bills and also to find meaning in their lives. The late Larry Burkett recognized this, and for nearly 30 years, Crown Ministries has helped hundreds of thousands of people around the world find, prepare for, and pursue the purpose-filled work God has called them to do. To learn more about how you or someone you love can use biblical wisdom to avoid the financial and emotional pain of a bad career decision, visit careercallings.net/discover, careercallings.net/discover.
All right, I'm in studio here today with Dr. Jerome II of Palmetto Proactive Healthcare. Doctor, how do you see Teach Me Morpheus helping your business?
For example, I see you for a sinus infection, and you realize you forgot to ask me something. Teach Me Morpheus can have one of our videos for sinus infection that you click, you can go through my instructions. We'll basically become a 24/7 resource for our patients.
To learn more, check out teachmemorpheus.com, referral code HISRADIO. That's teachmemorpheus.com, referral code HISRADIO.
Christian Talk 660.
But our lives aren't just measured in years. They're measured in the lives of people we touch around us.
This feels like my calling and my purpose in life. There's something different about this journey that's more heart connected.
Purpose is more than just your core of your own self. It's beyond your own identity. Everybody ultimately wants to serve other people.
You can have everything in life you want. You'll just help enough other people get what they want.
And that little bit of sadness in the mornings you spoke of, perhaps you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing.
I have just discovered my purpose in life. During the break, I realized that I want to be like Maestro when I grow up.
That's everybody's desire, but really,
it's unattainable. I know it is not attainable.
It's not as flashy as you might think,
but there is great merit in being like Mighty Maestro. Welcome back to Career Callings. I'm your host, Robbie Romeiser. Our purpose at Career Callings is to help people avoid the financial and emotional pain of a bad career decision by helping them find, prepare for, and pursue the work God created them to do. 864-381-7649 is how you can reach us by phone or text message, 864-381-7649, by email at robbie@careercallings.net. That's R-O-B-B-I-E @careercallings.net. Now, oftentimes here on the program, we have stressed that in the job market, what we really need to become aware of is the value that we bring to the marketplace. As an employee, or if you're an independent contractor that owns your own company and you're vying for contract work, in either case, whether or not you want to be hired by someone on a contract basis or be hired by someone on an employee-employer basis, you really have to understand what value you bring to the table. What is it that God's designed you to do well? How, as one person did define the word gift, what was God's gift to you? It's what you do very well with little or no effort, because God has given you that gift to do that job, that type of work, very, very well with little or no effort. So whatever that is, and how you actually apply that gift to the needs of other people is how you can determine what value it is you bring to the marketplace, and then you want to show your potential hirer, whoever that is, that you can provide that value and use that gift to alleviate whatever pain they have. Well, not long ago, there was a recent international study that surveyed more than 500 business leaders, and that study asked them what sets great employees apart. And this would apply as well to people who do contract work. And the researchers wanted to know why some people were more successful than others at work. And the main answer that came back was personality. Now, just to kind of break it down, 78% of leaders said that personality sets great employees apart. And that was more than cultural fit, which ranked at 53%, and 39% was what employees' skills ranked out at. So basically, what this article is saying is almost 2-to-1, not quite 2-to-1, but almost 2-to-1, business leaders across the world were saying, we want our greatest employees have the right character/personality to do the job, and that's more important to us than the skills they bring to the table at the job. Now, this idea that I'm quoting from or citing here is from an article labeled or titled 10 Ways to Spot a Truly Exceptional Employee. The author is Dr. Travis Bradbury, author of the number one best-selling book, Emotional Intelligence. And he's also president of a company called Talent Smart, one of the world's leading providers of emotional intelligence. So what Dr. Bradbury was trying to explain in this article is that what many of these leaders were defining as personality really boils down to what he calls, Dr. Bradbury, that is emotional intelligence. And so what I want to share with you is what this emotional intelligence slash personality actually looked like in play, in reality. So when a business leader says, hey, this is what I want, what they're saying is, number one, their greatest employees have a character trait of being able to delay gratification. In other words, whenever someone says something like, hey, I don't want to do that because that's not in my job description, and exceptional employees work outside the boundaries of typical traditional job descriptions. They're neither intimidated nor entitled in their mindset. Instead, they go ahead and forge ahead with their work, regardless of whether or not they're going to get recognized or compensated for that. In other words, they're willing to go the extra mile. And that's what is meant by willing to delay gratification. Go the extra mile regardless of what the reward is, knowing that at some point, your tendency to go the extra mile will be recognized and rewarded by your leaders at some point in the future. Number two, they can tolerate conflict. Exceptional employees don't seek conflict. They also don't run away from it. They're able to maintain their composure while presenting their positions calmly and logically. They're also able to withstand personal attacks in pursuit of the greater goal and never use that tactic themselves. Number three, these exceptional employees focus. For example, when things start going wrong, they don't forget to fly the plane, is the way Dr. Bradbury wrote it. And to illustrate that, he wrote in the article that plane crashes have resulted from pilots concentrating so hard on identifying the problem that they fly the plane into the ground. And he gave this example I did not know of. Maybe you did, Maestro. But Eastern Airlines Flight 401 many years ago crashed because the flight crew was so concerned about the landing gear that was down, they didn't realize that they were losing altitude and it was too late. And there were alarms going off in the cockpit like crazy. Hey, you're losing altitude. Hey, you know, whatever the alarm sounds like in a plane, I don't have a clue. But basically, the buzzers are going off saying you're losing altitude, but they were so focused on this minor distraction, the landing gear being down. I say minor, maybe that's a major thing, but nonetheless, you get the point. They lost their focus. And so exceptional employees are willing to, able to, weed through the noise and stay focused on the main drivers of that particular business's success and the success drivers of their particular job within that organization. Next, exceptional employees are judiciously courageous. Now, what Dr. Bradbury meant by that is this: exceptional employees are willing to speak up when others are not, whether it's to ask a difficult question or maybe even a challenge an executive's decisions. However, that balance comes with common sense and timing. They do think before they speak. They're not just, you know, shouting out, hey, that's a stupid idea. No, that's not cool. They do have a measured approach to sharing their thoughts, but they're willing to challenge the status quo if it's going to benefit the company and the organization. They're also in control of their egos. Exceptional employees, as everybody does, have egos, and exceptional employees oftentimes recognize that they're exceptional, not only because they may realize it themselves, but they may be receiving feedback from their employers or their clients indicating on a regular basis that they are. However, they don't let that go to their head. They are willing to accept responsibility for mistakes they make, and they're willing to ask for forgiveness when they do make those mistakes and then try to move forward in a harmonious way rather than an arrogant way. Next, exceptional employees are never satisfied. They have unparalleled convictions that things can always be better, And they're right. You know, no one has ever done growing. And there's no such thing as good enough in the mind of an exceptional employee. Next, they are accountable. You will never, ever hear, or at least very rarely hear, an exceptional employee say, "It's not my fault. It wasn't my problem. It's not my fault." Exceptional employees are accountable. They own their work. They own their decisions. They don't look for ways to blame other people. Either good things or bad things, good results, bad results, they're taking on the accountability and the responsibility. Next, exceptional employees are what we call marketable. And what Dr. Bradbury meant by that is this. Inside their respective organizations, marketable means that they're likable. They are well liked by their coworkers. And not necessarily because they have a bubbly personality or they've got that great gene of hospitability and gift of gab. They're just people of integrity, people who are consistent, people who have an ability to treat others as they would want to be treated. And as a result of that, they are liked, and they're respected. Even if they're not everybody's best friend, they're certainly well-liked and respected. Lastly, these folks have the ability to neutralize toxic people. Now, I don't care what kind of business you're in, eventually, you're going to run into what are called toxic people. These are people who are naturally nasty, or I should say, their personality has become nasty. That's their default position.
Donald Trump?
Well, moving right along. Dealing with difficult people. This is not a political show, Maestro.
I'm sorry. I was thinking of something else.
Okay, yeah. Dealing with difficult people can definitely be frustrating and exhausting. And exceptional employees learn how to control their interactions with toxic people by keeping their own feelings in check and trying to keep things as even-keeled as possible. So I thought it would be instructive for you to hear these 10 ways to spot a truly exceptional employee, because if you don't already have some or all these characteristics and can develop them, then it won't be long before you'll be seen as exceptional because of your, quote, personality or your emotional intelligence. Now, as a Christian, the easiest way to do this is to improve your relationship with the Lord. I think I could really boil all that stuff down. Now, certainly non-Christians can have all those characteristics. I get that. But in a rough way, just kind of looking at it from a rough standpoint, basically what most of that boils down to is some level of the fruit of the Spirit working through someone. And the only way you can evidence the fruit of the Spirit as a saved individual is to have a strong relationship with Christ. I know, for example, in my life, the closer I am to God, the more easy it is for me to handle and respond to toxic people or toxic situations, to be more even-keeled in a number of different aspects. But in those times in my life when I'm further away from the Lord, I'm much more quick-tempered, much more less likely to fit the description of the exceptional employee that was just mentioned here. So I would encourage you, if you want to develop those skills and those attributes, improve your walk with the Lord. Spend more time with Him in Bible reading, Bible study, prayer, service to Him in your local church, service to Him in your company, service to Him in volunteer organizations outside of the church. And as you build that relationship with Him, you'll become more and more exceptional, not only as an employee, but as a reflection of the Savior who saved your soul for eternity. That wraps up another edition of Career Callings with Robbie Romeiser. As always, to get a free copy of today's broadcast, go to careercallings.net/radio. And we will also link to the articles and music we used on the program today. Seek first the kingdom of God. God bless.